In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue today with this Easter day, this Wednesday in Easter, the octave of Easter. We spoke about why we celebrate the octave last time, yesterday, and on Monday. And remember that at the conclusion of today's Mass, we will continue on with our Novena of Divine Mercy, the sixth day. Pray the sixth day together after this Mass. What do we see here within the Gospel? In the Gospel, we have this beautiful, probably one of the most beautiful, they're all incredible resurrection stories, that of the two disciples, the two followers of Christ on the road to Emmaus. It was a good distance outside outside of Jerusalem, and they were headed home in sorrow. What's beautiful about this particular passage is that it speaks about all the things which has already happened. So it recaps some of the other resurrection stories that have happened and how these ones were incredulous, that they wished to believe that somehow it could happen, but it was too much for them to see here that all these strange occurrences were happening, but not having seen the Lord himself, they didn't know what to do with themselves. And so they went back in sorrow. You hear it there within the passage that as soon as even they reference saying, the Lord says to them, what things are you speaking about? What is their reaction? That they become downcast. That they look down because they're still so reeling from the sorrow of these past days that it hurts them even to think about what things have happened in these past days. What we find here is that our Lord does something incredible with them. That afterwards he calls them fools. That he reminds them that all these things had to happen in order that the Messiah would come to be. And as they drew close to their home, it says that evening was drawing near. The day was far spent. And so they ask him to come and stay with them. These are words, stay with us, Lord, for evening draws near. These are words which are the subject of many meditations. Throughout the whole history of the church, the fathers of the church, the mystics, even down to your regular parish priests, have always found such great inspiration in this, such depths for preaching. We've shared with you on years past Padre Pio's beautiful prayer, stay with us, Lord, something that is beautiful to pray after you receive Holy Communion. It was he himself who was struggling with our Lord's presence and desiring to remain with him that caused Saint Padre Pio to go forward and to write that beautiful meditation. To stay with us, Lord. Because how easy is it for you and I to be bogged down within the trials and the difficulties that come upon you and I within our day? We see a sorrow, and the sorrow takes us away. We see something that is so difficult, and then it makes us as though we're completely deaf or completely blind to see God's work at hand, because the struggle that we're going through, the trauma that we're dealing with within our lives, the evil that we see within our world is just too much for us to bear. And so those graces that our Lord is indeed pouring out upon us in a miraculous way, just we can't hold on to those because we're still reeling from such great evil that we've experienced. This is the same as what goes on within the lives of these two disciples. And it is only that our Lord, pointing out to them in the way which they themselves could most hear, that caused their hearts, as it says later on, to burn within us. When you and I walk with the Lord, when you and I actually have his word proclaimed for us, when we spend time within it, that's what happens. Is that when we are open to hearing the word of life actually spoken, even in the midst of our sorrow, it causes our hearts to burn. Because there's something within us that God has put in within the souls of those who are of good spirit, those who are of good will, those who truly desire to follow Christ, that just hearing the word of God causes our hearts to burn. It encourages us even in the midst of the great sorrow that we're with. And we don't want to lose that. And so we say, stay with us, Lord. I want to share with you something that St. Teresa of Jesus, St. Teresa of Avila, spoke about in her own struggle to remain with the Lord and the troubles that she had within her life. This is taken from her work on, Teresa's work on her own life. It's her autobiography. She writes this way, "Oh my God, I am afraid, and with good reason, that you may forsake me. For I know well how little my strength is, how great is my insufficiency of virtue. If you are not always granting me your grace and helping me not to forsake you, it seems to me, my Lord, that it would be impossible for me to leave you. But as I have done it so many times, I cannot but fear. For when you withdraw but a little from me, I fall utterly to the ground. But blessed may you be forever, O Lord, for though I have forsaken you, you have not so completely forsaken me as to not raise me up again by continually giving me your hand. Remember, O Lord, my great misery, and look upon my weakness, since you know all things. What a beautiful little passage from St. Teresa of Avila. We can think of the many times in which she struggled within her life to bring about a conversion to her religious community, how much she was so greatly attacked and pushed aside, how the simple reforms that are truly what God desired and were contrary to the worldliness that had crept into the Carmelite life over time. Yet she was opposed in so many great ways within the church and without the church. But it hurt so much more how she was attacked from within the church. Maybe we can think of that time where she fell upon the road and then was cast off her beast of burden and thrown into the mud. And remember what words she said. Immemorial words are they. When she raised up her fist to heaven and cried out, covered with mud and embarrassed and hurt from the tussle and the fall, she said, Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, it is no wonder how you have so few. She knew how easy it was for her to fall physically, and in even a graver way, how it was for her to fall spiritually and take her eyes off the reality of the presence of God. And yet, she prays here, Lord, even though I know that I can leave you, you never leave me so much so that you aren't right there ready to pull me out of that same mud in which I have fallen. She begs, just as those did on the road to Emmaus, look upon my weakness, since you know all things, remember my great misery, and don't leave me. You and I can say the same thing here, as we're here at Mass, and it's tough for us to stay focused on any particular mystery, even for an entire hour, much less to really plumb the depths of what an octave is supposed to be about. 8 days of meditating upon this exact same mystery of the resurrection. Yet the way you and I can maintain that closeness to Christ and continue to plumb graces even beyond in our human frailties and our fallings, our lack of attention, to say just what those disciples on the road to Emmaus said, say what Cleopas and his wife said on the way, stay with us, Lord. Evening does draw near. We know how easy it is for us to grow forgetful of you, to be bogged down in our sinfulness and the cares and worries of this world and the struggles that we have in this present life that seems to drag on and on and on. Just stay with us, Lord. When you and I make that the desire of our hearts do burn when we spend time with the Lord. And just like we're about to do right now, through the eyes of faith, you and I still, even in the midst of the difficulties we face, can recognize him here with us in the breaking of the bread, which is exactly what Mass is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.